Hi, I'm Joe Heath.
I'm Tony Heath.
And this is the Watchathon of Rassilon.
Yay!
Talking about the eighth serial of the second season of Doctor Who, The Chase, which consists of six episodes, The Executioners, The Death of Time, Flight Through Eternity, Journey into Terror, The Death of Doctor Who, and The Planet of Decision, which aired from...
half a second where I was expecting you to say The Death of Superman.
The Death of Superman. And those episodes air from May 22nd, 1965 to June 26th, 1965. We're in 65. We've technically watched, what, 3 years of this?
Holy shit, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not even taken us a year yet. But we will be doing this for at least a year. At least.
A year's like our whole lives. Like, I don't know how long you plan on living, but...
not long.
Me either.
Okay, if I die, who do you want to replace me?
I don't understand the question.
I mean, you're going to need a co-host.
Oh, I just thought you meant, like, in life in general.
Well, that too. Either way, go answer both questions.
I don't know.
Maybe the same person for both roles.
No.
No?
I don't know. I feel like Ben Patton's a pretty good co-host. He's funny. He's funnier than either of us.
Do you think he would be willing to go in the long haul at that point?
No.
Like, to do every episode? He would be a good co-host. What about Chris Cherry.
Chris Cherry would. Yeah. There you go. Chris Cherry to both questions.
Oh! Okay. Now I know how things are. All right.
Just kidding. It'd probably be a woman.
Jez, then.
You're gonna make it weird.
A couple of things I want to say before we dive into The Chase.
I'm gonna say before we die.
Before we die. Oh, by the way, if you died before me, I'd probably just use one of your clones. Or Chris. Chris for both answers. Okay. Maybe Vince.
I know.
I'm just going to get all of the previous guests to be the co-host.
I know that right now, Chris. Not right now, but in the future, Chris is listening to this and he's doing this. He's blushing and ducking out of frame,
which is an inside joke.
And then, like, 5 seconds from now, from him hearing this, we are getting a text.
Yep.
That's what's happening.
I, at this point in his listening of this podcast, I'm looking at my phone.
Oh my gosh. So,
The things I wanted to say. First off, I apologize in advance if I cough or sound, I'm a little sickish. I think Tony is a little bit too. I don't know. I don't think you're as bad as me.
I don't have, like, the coughing going on. I just have the, like, I'm getting ready to get sick. Like, I'm just groggy.
Yeah, kind of.
So, if we're a little punchy, that's why.
If you're gonna punch me, that's why.
No.
Yeah. This is just a real life update. Tony set the kitchen on fire.
God damn it, Joseph! You didn't have to tell anyone!
Would you turn the wrong eye on?
Yeah, okay, listen. Here's all I wanted was a cup of tea. And I had fixed myself lunch, okay?
You did not listen to Dalek Vince, I'm just saying.
Listen, I'm pissed because when Vince made us that theme song, I was like, that's such a weird thing for him to pick up on. Like, it maybe has been mentioned in the podcast twice. And, like, since that's been our theme song, I've almost caught the kitchen on fire, like, twice since then. But it's not...
You put it out.
I was on Skype with him. I had him on the phone while I was cooking dinner. And, like, some grease hit the eye and it, like, flamed up. And he's like, Tony! And I was like, it's fine!
Was that when we recorded Space Museum? After we recorded
That was after we recorded... We recorded Space Museum and he kind of... We hung out with him for a while. But I was pissed because I was like, it's not like it ever happens! I've never actually started a fire, but we don't have a spatula anymore.
It melted. It, like, totally melted. I'm going to put that picture up on our blog after this episode goes up.
Thank you. It's, I swear, I'm not that bad in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I cook food. I cook good food. It's not like I burn everything I cook.
You just burn things that aren't food.
Well, yeah. No, I'm...
You burned spatulas. It was super melty, you guys.
I had fixed myself lunch, and then, being the slob that I am, I left the pan and the spatula on the oven. Hours later, I wanted to make myself some tea, so I turned the eye on and walked away, and I'm, like, sitting on the computer. I was making GIFs is what I was doing. I was making GIFs for the Space Museum, and I hear very bad sounds coming from the kitchen, and I walk in there and they're like flames like shooting up, and I'm just very calmly like, this is gonna suck later when everyone finds out, and just sort of pick it up and throw it into the sink.
So clearly we were poor choices to be guests on that adult film.
Yes, which I guess we should say that we were on,
yeah,
where to find it.
Well, I mean, it's been up for a while now, if you're listening to this now, because I imagine this goes up in, like, a few weeks. But, yeah, it's thatadultfeel.tumblr.com. It's a podcast by previous guest Jez Layman, who also runs the How to Grow the Fuck Up
blog. Fun fact about that, I was texting Jez right before it had happened, and we were just talking about life stuff, and she was like, I'm going to give you an adulting award. And I took a picture of the melted spatula and sent it to her and was like, I'd like to rescind my award.
Yeah.
I don't think I deserve it.
No, you still do. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
But yeah, we're in the first episode of That Adult Feel, just talking about, I guess, being in our 20s.
I've been told that it's funny.
Tony won't listen to it. She doesn't listen to this podcast.
I don't like hearing myself. I don't even like hearing myself now.
She doesn't like listening to it, but like while I'm editing it, she's like, am I being funny? Am I being funny right now? Joe, am I being funny? I mean, you're just talking about, like, a random scene. You're not really being funny right now. Okay, just let me know if I'm being funny.
That's all I want to know.
This is about not the last episode we did, but the episode before, which was The Crusade. I just want to say that a handful of people have told us how bad we are in history.
We?
Mostly me. Okay, but you're in part of this.
Okay, a little.
We were talking about the Sultan, and then I was like, oh, wait, the Wikipedia says it's Saladin.
And I was
but
like,
it's both.
It's Saladin's like a nickname.
No, I think it's like his name is Saladin, but he is a Sultan.
But he is a Sultan. See, and I thought you were saying that Saladin was like the name for it, and I was like, I've always said Sultan, but I wouldn't be surprised if I just had always known something that was horrifically wrong.
Right.
Because I'm American.
I mean, I legitimately don't know anything. And there's a couple other things that got pointed out, but I think was mostly addressed. But that was the biggest one that we didn't necessarily clear up. But yeah, the Crusades is a place. I'm pretty sure I was right on that one.
Let's talk about The Chase.
The Chase! Which was fantastic to watch for certain reasons.
Yeah.
Tony knew something was coming up, but
Here's
did not
thing.
Realize it was this serial.
Here's the thing. I was given a heads up by Jez, actually. And in the meantime, I had, like, forgotten. I had forgotten
or
that this...
Or shifted it.
Yeah, I thought... I knew things were coming up, but I thought they were the next serial. And so when they started happening, I was like, oh, wait, no, I'm not ready. Stop.
It's the last serial with Ian Chesterton and Barbara Wright.
Because as sad as it is, this is one of my favorite serials of all time.
It's very reminiscent of The Keys of Marinus in that each episode is sort of its own thing.
That's kind of like, here's an idea, here's an idea, here's an idea. The difference is, in The Keys of Marinus, those ideas are all hit and miss. Whereas in The Chase, I feel like it's... No, Joe does not agree.
I still think it's pretty hit and miss.
I like more of it.
It also seems like they put more than one in some episodes. Like, one of them has two completely different plot lines. But we'll get to that.
I'm happy with all of it.
Let's talk about The Chase.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it ep by ep. That is a slight reference to You Talking U2 to Me where they go track by track. Tony loves it when I put in references to You Talking U2 to Me, which is a podcast you should all check out, even if you don't listen to U2. I didn't listen to U2.
Now he won't shut up about U2. Now he won't stop talking to me about U2.
It was brought to my attention by Chris Cherry, who is a fan of that podcast and also U2.
Dude, I swear we are 12 minutes in and we have
I know. I just want to put a shout out for you talking to me and say it's a good podcast and everyone should listen to it, even if you don't like YouTube. Or even if you don't even know about YouTube, which I did. It's still good. Scott Aukerman and Adam Scott Aukerman. Okay, The Executioners is the first episode. The Executioners! Which we pick up with the cliffhanger from last serial, which is Daleks on the case. On the case of the chase. The chase case.
I was shocked by it every single time. Like the cliffhanger happened, and I was like, what? And then, like, we watched this first episode, and I was like, oh my god, I forgot about Daleks! And then, like, later, in another episode, the Daleks are, you know, like, they lose their plot for a while, and they come back, and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot! Every single time, I was, like, shocked.
Tony has the memory of a goldfish?
Goldfish have probably better memories.
Do you remember what happened at the beginning of this recording?
We said, hey.
Anyway, Daleks. Daleks are after the Doctor, chasing him down. They have themselves a time machine.
They have their own time machine!
Which
they didn't have, but they built specifically so they could chase the Doctor, and for no other reason.
It appears the exterior appears to be made of cardboard. Very flimsy cardboard. There's a scene where the Daleks are all going into the ship, and I guess it's like...
It takes forever, you guys!
There's like, I don't know. 10 or 12 of them.
There was like 12 Daleks, and there's like, it's like a cardboard tube, you know, with doors.
It's like a
doors.
Big circular, like, it looks like a pie tin upside down or something.
But you watch all 12 of them go in through the doors, every, like, single file, and you're like, why are we still...
But like, the walls are like wobbling and as they enter, because they're giant Daleks and not great at maneuverability.
But before that...
We see that they're coming after the Doctor, and then we just cut around to our favorite thing, which is just the TARDIS crew chillaxing in the TARDIS.
Yeah.
But Vicky's bored and wanting to help, and she's doing... The Doctor's trying to fix this thing, which is the... which we'll see as the visualizer.
Time and space visualizer.
Which we'll get to in a second, but he's working on it, and Vicky's like whistling, and the Doctor's like, stop whistling! Stop it! You're annoying me. Go find somebody else to help. And then, like, she goes and finds Ian, who's reading science fiction.
What is he reading? He's reading Monsters in Space, is that?
Yeah, something like that.
And Vicky asks how it is, and he's like, it's a bit far-fetched. And you're like, Ian, you live on a spaceship.
Firefly reference. And then she's, like, trying to peek over his shoulder and read what he's reading. He's like, stop it. Stop, Vicky. And then she's like, ugh. And, like, goes to try to talk to Barbara and...
spill something, right?
Yeah, it's like, break something. I forget what it was.
Barbara's making, like, a dress for her. I think she spills something all over it.
And then Barbara's like, oh, Vicky!
But Barbara's cute because she's, like, mad, but she's like... I'm sorry. Like, immediately is, like, sorry for being mad.
And Vicky's like, well, what was it? And she's like, I was making a dress for you. Wah, wah.
Vicky's got nowhere to be.
This scene was fun, though. It doesn't really do anything. Overall scheme of things, it's not setting up any sort of Vicky plot line or anything, really. But it's cute. It's funny.
I love watching people hang out in the TARDIS. I like seeing more of the TARDIS than just the control room. That was weird.
Which we don't have a lot of in the new Who.
No.
I can't.
It's huge. It's supposed to be huge. And I would love to see one of my favorite classic Who episodes is them like just like going through the TARDIS and like you see a bunch of different stuff. I don't remember anything else about it. I watched it a very long time ago.
Yeah, but I'd like that. I like more of that. I also think more people should be in the TARDIS. It's always, like, at most, like, 3 to 4, at most.
I'd like an ensemble. Yeah, I would love a full TARDIS. That would be awesome. That was the best moment in New Who, which we actually recently rewatched.
With my parents.
With Joe's parents. They watched it for the first time. We watched Journey's End with them. And it's... ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous, and silly as it is, the whole plot line of them towing Earth back, and it doesn't make any sense, it doesn't matter, everyone's there, they're all so happy.
It's like, it's one of my favorite moments, it's great.
So yeah, a full TARDIS would be awesome.
But anyway, we got this little comic scene that doesn't really do much, but is fun. And then we get to see the Doctor has finished working on the time and space visualizer. And he's got it up and running. It's a time TV, basically. A time television.
Which seems ridiculous to be excited about when you're in a time machine. Like, oh, you guys, we can watch the Beatles on TV. Like, or you could just go meet the Beatles. It's fine, because Ian dances, and it's the best thing ever.
So, yeah, that's one of the things they watch is the Beatles, which I think it might be the last thing they watch. But there's a fun story behind that. They were actually trying to get the actual Beatles to be on it, and I think the Beatles were interested, but their manager said no. But they were going to put them in old makeup so they look like the Beatles of the future. That future, like, they're still, like, really popular, like, way later. And they still have that joke of them being really popular, which is still true.
Wait, yeah, there's some joke where, like, Vicky
calls it classic music.
And Ian's offended, and I'm like, that's...
I mean, yeah.
It is what it is.
You know, it's a good thing they went with... I mean, they could have went with some other band that was popular at the time that maybe, you know...
That no one would remember, yeah. But, like, the joke is, like, they still know about the Beatles in the future, and it's like, yep.
And, and maybe it's a good thing they didn't do old age makeup as well, because then you'd have the awkwardness of not all of them made it there. So, you know, that actually kind of works out a little bit for not making it feel dated or awkward.
Yeah.
When you're rewatching it. And another fun fact about that Beatles scene. Okay, so, you know, a lot of Doctor Who got tossed, like, trashed, and that they don't exist anymore. So did that episode of, it was called Top of the Pops, I think is what it was called. That's what they got the footage of the Beatles from, is this episode, the show called Top of the Pops. And that episode was trashed. The only existing footage of it is in this Doctor Who episode, which is a bit weird. That the show that's known for missing episodes because it was trashed has the only existing footage of another show that was trashed. Luckily, that episode of Doctor Who didn't get trashed. Who else do they
Barbara picks piece? Like a date at random, and it ends up being...
She doesn't pick a date at random. She wants to see the Queen.
She wants to see the Queen, but like it's the Queen and Shakespeare, and Ian's like, how did you know that? And Barbara's like, I just wanted to see the Queen. I had no idea Shakespeare was going to be there. That's neat.
Does it contradict anything with the new Shakespeare in the new series?
Not as far as I know. It's the same guy. I mean, Shakespeare, you know, looks different.
The main guy in the show looks different. So, he really looks different later in this episode, later in the serial.
What did Vicky pick?
I don't know if Vicky picked anything, but Ian picked Lincoln.
Oh, Vicky was the one who picked the Beatles. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and they're like, you know about the Beatles.
Yeah.
But Ian picks Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg
Which
Address.
Which goes on for ages.
Well, it's a famous address.
I mean, I guess it's like the educational aspect of the show, but I'm like...
Nice. I mean, he's a good impersonator. I thought he did a decent job.
So they fiddle around
He didn't say party on, dudes, which I thought was weird. Because doesn't Abraham Lincoln at the end of that go party on, dudes? Right? Oh, wait, I'm thinking about that other time travel thing with the phone booth.
So they fiddle around with that for a while.
Yeah, they watch stuff, which also doesn't really add anything to the story. And then they land on a planet, and it has two suns!
I always wonder about that. Like, the actual mechanics of how a planet with two suns... Like, does it figure eight? Or are the two suns just...
Side by side?
And it rotates around two... Like, I mean, I'm sure there are galaxies with two suns, and I could probably Google it.
Would it necessarily be in the same sort of, like, loop? Like, it always seems like that they're right beside each other and just sort of stay there. Wouldn't it, like, alternate? Like, I mean, I feel like one would go faster than the other, maybe. Or, like, you know, they would get off.
What?
Like, it always seems like they go at the same pace around the planet.
You know the sun doesn't move, right?
Well, you know what I mean, though.
It would go the same pace because the planet's what's moving.
Right.
At one pace.
Yes. But it's going around two stars? It's going around two?
Yeah.
Why did I think suns go around the planet?
You did!
So stupid. Well, maybe in this universe it does. Maybe it should. Shut up. Shut up. Can two stars be that close together?
I mean, probably. I don't know. Probably? Maybe?
But still, what I'm saying, they always seem to be in the same distance from each other and stuff, right?
Again, the stars aren't... That's what I'm saying, if it's...
What if the stars are in orbit around each other?
If if it's doing, like, a figure eight, what does that look like? Or is that even, like, a plausible thing?
So are you saying there can't be a star orbiting a planet?
No.
No?
What's holding that planet in place?
I don't know.
I don't know where to go from here.
Okay. What about two moons?
What about two moons?
Every time I've seen two moons, they always...
Now, that's fair. That's fair. Two moons could have completely different orbits and...
This podcast is just showing how fucking stupid I am, isn't it?
I mean...
I'm tired and sick.
At
and
least you stupid. Haven't set the kitchen on fire.
That's true.
So you've got that going for you.
I just don't know how science or history works. But I don't know. I just feel like maybe there would be like a slight different. Like I don't know. There wouldn't just be bases.
I mean, it's like how the you know. It's like how the stars move.
I'm going to stop theorizing on shit. But okay, my moon thing is
your,
fair
your
enough.
Your moon thing is solid.
All right. Two suns. Really hot. So there's like these weird statues.
They go, and there's
which
nothing.
Which you never explain, really.
No. There's nothing but sand dunes for like miles. And Vicky's like, I'm going to go all the way over that way.
Over the ridge.
And Ian's like, all right, I'll come with you. Please stop. Why are you going so... Vicky's so cute, though. She's like, we're here. We might as well explore.
Vicky steps in something, and Ian's like, probably blood.
it's a really adorable scene. Ian's like, yeah, knowing our luck, it's probably blood. And Vicky's like, ha-ha, yeah, probably. You guys are messed up. Those are some people who've been through some shit.
And they're, like, following this path of something. There's, like, a path, and they follow it.
It's like, yeah, whatever she stepped in, there's a path of, and they're following it farther and farther away from the TARDIS. And, I like, at one point, Ian's like, okay, but we're not going to go any farther than this. And Vicky's like, but it's a trail. And Ian's like, yep. It is. If it's a trail, we have to follow it.
They follow the trail, and a mysterious vine lifts itself from the sand. They're like, what is that? And we'll find out later. And then we go, like, the doctor
and
Barbara are just, like, I don't know, getting his hand, just
I
laying.
Think they're just napping. They're just napping together, you guys.
Well, the doctor's, like, singing and stuff, isn't he?
Oh, the doctor's singing, and Barbara hears something. And she goes, what was that horrible noise? And the doctor goes, that rude? That's a rude way to talk about my singing. And Barbara goes, no, the other horrible noise. Which is delightful.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
No, he's all right.
I can't tell. They go to check out what the noise is, and it's the visualizer on the... I don't remember if they turn it on or if it's already on or whatever.
It's on, and they argue about it. Barbara's like, well, you must not have turned it off. And the doctor's like, of course I turned it off. And it's not important. What's important is it's on, and on there you see Daleks.
Boop, boop, boom.
And it's, you know... Right then.
And the Daleks are like, we know where you are! Basically, is what they're talking about. They don't say it straight to the doctor, of course.
They're not talking to him.
They're just talking amongst each other and being like, we know where they are!
We have a time machine.
They're just like expositionizing for no reason for
like
the doctor.
Like Daleks do.
Yeah. So then the doctor and Barbara are like, well, we gotta go find Ian and
Vicky and warn them that Daleks are coming.
Ian and Vicky are like so far away and they find this ring on the ground.
There's a ring in the sand. Now I forget who says what, but basically the conversation is like,
well, Vicky starts telling a story about a ring in the field.
Oh, Ian's gonna pull it. That's what it Ian's gonna pull it and is like, there's a ring in the sand. That's something I gotta touch. So Vicky's like, no, don't. He's like, what? And that's when Vicky tells her story. There's some story she heard when she was a kid.
Like, there was a ring in the field and they like said, don't pull it because you don't know what's gonna be on the other side or something. I don't remember.
Pull it and people exploded?
Yeah, maybe.
But he pulls the ring because he's Ian.
I would like to say during this scene, it gets darker and darker and you almost don't notice it, but it's nice because it's like, they're way far away from the TARDIS when the suns are going down.
Yeah, and the whole time this is happening, I'm like watching going, why? Stop getting so far away! Don't you know what you're doing? Ian pulls the ring, and of course it opens a trap door because this is Doctor Who after all.
And, of course, Ian falls.
They're far away from the TARDIS. It's getting dark. They've mentioned that it's getting dark. They've acknowledged it. And they're like, but you want to go down the hole, right? Like, we can't just leave this hole unexplored.
And, like, Ian's like, just be careful.
Yeah, so of course Vicky's like, well, I'm going. And Ian's like, well, I can't stop you, but...
So they go in, and then that vine arm thing closes the trap door. Or at least that's the impression I think we're supposed to get.
Happens?
But it just kind of moved, and the door closed. Some puppetry not really in sync there. They are now trapped in the underground with the vine creature. And meanwhile, the Doctor and Barbara get stuck in a sandstorm.
They're not in the TARDIS. They're on their way to go warn Ian and Vicky, who they can't find. And then they get trapped in the sandstorm. And then once the sandstorm is over, nothing looks the same.
The path they're following is gone. They can't see the TARDIS anymore. Everything's under sand. And they're like, oh no, what are we going to do? We're going to die.
The Doctor has given Ian, because Ian and Vicky go to explore. And the Doctor and Barbara hang back. Before the Doctor gives Ian this little compass thingy that's not a compass. It points to the TARDIS, always.
Oh, homing pigeon.
So he's like, don't get lost. Here, have this thing. So when Ian and Barbara are lost in the sand, he instinctually is like, where's my... crap.
Right.
Ian has it. We're screwed.
They don't know what to do, and they're looking around, and what comes from beneath the sand rises from the sand, a asthmatic Dalek.
The Dalek, it's like coughing and cursing. I mean, it's not cursing, but it's like, it's like grumbling the whole way up, but in, you know, a Dalek voice, and it's excellent. And I meant to GIF that, and I forgot.
We haven't done GIFs for this serial yet.
I'm so confused.
You did GIFs for the Space Museum.
I did.
Now who's confused about time?
Time's confusing! But I'm gonna GIF that. You guys probably saw it already.
So that was the end of The Executioners! And we are now on to episode 2, The Death of Time. By the way, were the Daleks the executioners, or they didn't do a whole lot of executing?
But they're on their way.
And they're going to execute time?
Yeah.
The death of time? I'm pretty sure the death of time also doesn't have anything to do with the episode we're about to talk about. These titles, you guys,
they
don't
be
always
they're
match
basically
up
Mad
with
Libs.
Anything. It's true.
I think there's like a bullseye with adjectives and a bullseye with nouns, and it's just
they're like title. The death of death.
Oh. The death of caves? Why is caves such a big spot on this, you guys? It's like bigger than anything else.
The cave of caves. Ooh. I mean, the Daleks are like, we gotta find these peeps.
Kill them.
Exterminate them.
Make them dead.
Make them not alive. The opposite of alive. Dead. Who bumps into the savage dragons? Is it Ian and Vicky, or is it Barbara and the Doctor? It's Barbara and the Doctor, right?
Barbara and the Doctor, yes.
They run into these, like, lizard people that, for some reason, I wanted to call savage dragons, because they look like the savage dragon. Not, like, beefy and hulky. They just have that fin thing going on. They're not green. They're black and white, but I just assumed they were green. Maybe a light blue. I don't even remember what they say. I just remember they're there.
I was going to say, to be honest, I don't even remember them. I can't remember how this episode ends.
This is a fantastic podcast.
Oh, my God.
Okay, let's just go to the stuff I do remember. So there's like a big vine weird thing in the little underground place that Ian and Vicky are at. And so they run, as you should probably do. Ian throws a thing at them, which is rude, because we don't know they're bad. They're just little lumpy plant things.
I get so mad when people are just like, it's a monster! Run and throw it! Like, run! Or fight it! Like, that's so presumptuous. Like, just because it looks weird might be nice.
Maybe the Daleks bumped into the savage dragons because then they exterminate one. They exterminate every new creature or thing that they come into contact with.
New thing they encounter, they're like,
exterminate!
They kill everything they come across and do not manage to kill anyone that it's their objective to kill. Daleks are awful.
And then we find out that there used to be a sea and it dried up.
There used to be a sea and it dried up and everybody lives underneath. I remember what happens now. Everyone lives underneath of the sand, but there are good aliens and bad aliens.
As per usual.
They have, like, they are walling up parts of their city. They're walling off parts of their city.
That had, like, the weird vine lumpy things.
Because they're bad.
Or you, I mean,
Barbara and the Doctor are underground.
Or no, they're about to go underground. They're not underground yet. Vicky and Ian.
I mean, does anything else important happens?
The mire beasts eat flesh. That's the lumpy plant thing. And the savage dragons are very hammy. It's saying the airlock is going to explode at high suns.
Oh, yeah, they're going to blow up part of the city that's just completely overtaken.
It's where Ian and Vicky are.
It's where Ian and Vicky are.
Also, I want to say, part of the reason we're having trouble remembering this, there's like 6 serials packed into this one serial.
Yeah.
So
a lot happens, you guys.
What we're talking about now, there's like 6 other different things that happen before the end of the serial, like completely different stories. This one gets wrapped up pretty much by the end of this episode. But Vicky gets caught by the vine thing, but then explosions happen, which is, I guess, the airlock. And there's a cave-in, and Ian gets hurt. Gets a thing knocked on the head.
Ian gets knocked on the head, and this is the one, because he gets knocked on the head like a couple of times. Is this the one that's kind of like intense?
Yeah, like he's passed out. And like Vicky basically has to like leave him because she's trying to find a way out. Savage dragons are like, come visit our city to Barbara and the Doctor. And the Daleks are looking for the TARDIS. The savage dragons take Doctor and Barbara to their city, and the Doctor's just like eating. just like, let's eat. And Barb's like, how can you eat at a time like this? Where's Vicky and Ian? And she's very worried. The doctor's like, well, we don't know where they are, and we have to eat. It is a thing that we have to do.
It won't do them any good if we, you know.
I just worry.
Yeah.
And then he's like, just, Barbara, why don't you take a nap?
She does! And she's, like, they're talking, and she, like, sits down, and she's, like, sitting, like, stone steps that she's sitting on.
Sealed-off doorway.
Leaning on a door.
That's sealed off because of the vine creatures.
She just falls asleep, sitting up, like, on stone.
Doesn't make a makeshift pillow or anything.
Doesn't, like, put her head on her arm. She's like, you're right, I should sleep.
Like, yeah, just the most uncomfortable position I've ever seen. She just, like...
To be fair...
Puts her head up against some bricks.
I fell asleep sitting up on a ferry once.
A ferry?
Like a boat.
Oh.
Not like a...
I was thinking of a winged creature.
Not even, like, in a seat, either. I was sitting, like cross-legged on the floor, and I was, like, doing, like, wobbling. Apparently, I was sitting next to somebody who was, like, giving me dirty looks, because I was, like... Get too close to them.
You were asleep sitting up. My grandfather fell asleep standing up once.
What?
Yep. I think he was like leaning against, he was standing on like front porch and like leaning against the like post. Fell asleep, standing up.
Barbara falls asleep.
And the Daleks have made contact with the Savage Dragons. They exterminated one, but I think they left one alive.
Basically, they tell them, hey, we're going to kill everybody.
If you don't give us the doctor.
Or, like, we just want the doctor. Or you can just give us the doctor.
They've also got others... The Daleks have other Savage Dragons digging out the TARDIS for them.
They've managed to find the TARDIS. They've got the aliens digging them out.
They attempt to explode it.
I mean, they don't... They just shoot it with their egg beater gun. Nothing really happens. But basically, pretty much instantly, the dragons are like, yo, we're gonna give you up. Which is funny, because the doctor's like, oh, you can't take us into your city. The Daleks are following us. You don't want to be involved with them. And he's like, no, don't worry about it. You come into the city. So they come into the city, and like the Daleks show up, and he's like, all right, well, don't worry about them. We're gonna get out of your hair. And they're like, no, you're not. We're giving you up. And the doctor's like, what? We were just gonna leave, and it was gonna be fine. And they're like, no, that's not how this is gonna go.
Like, okay, so yeah, we've set up the vine lumpy things are bad guys and the Savage Dragons are good guys. But the Savage Dragons ain't so good now, are they? Morally gray!
They're just trying to protect themselves.
Yeah.
They don't know what's
but
up.
The only reason they brought them to the city is to keep them as prisoners, depending on which way the Daleks went, basically.
Yeah.
Like, we'll let you go. If they're fine with it, we'll keep you. If it's not. The Daleks try to blow up the TARDIS, and Vicky has found a way out of the underground and notices and sees the Daleks trying to blow up the thing. She's found a way out of this caved-in area.
But now Vicky knows that there are Daleks.
Ian wakes up. Vicky tells Ian about that. He's okay-ish now. Meanwhile, Barbara's sleeping up against this bricked-up wall, and the bricks start falling out. One of the Mire beasts... The lumpy plant things breaks through weirdly. Like, she only fell asleep there just to be in danger, pretty much. They're fighting the Mire Beast, the Savage Dragons and everything. And the Doctor and Barbara use this opportunity to escape. The Doctor and Barbara bump into Vicky and Ian in their escape. And there's a reunion. She's like, here's where the exit is. Come over here. And they're like, what are we going to do? And Ian is like, Barbara, I need your cardigan.
And Barbara's like,
again.
Oh, not again. It's really cute. I wonder how many of them he's done this to. I bet this isn't the second time.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
What? I need your cardigan. Again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cardigan again.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm making sure you got my joke. Did you get my joke?
No, yeah.
The cardigan again?
No, yeah.
And then she says not again.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. And the cardigan is used to make the stupidest trap for a Dalek that I've ever seen. Which is, okay, so there's like this staircase, basically, sort of a staircase, up to the planet. The Doctor and Ian put these like sticks and stuff. They drape the cardigan across it, and then they put sand on top of that, so it looks like it's basically like a fake piece of ground.
But it's not. It looks like a cardigan with sand on it, which doesn't stop it from working. Spoilers.
And there's still hole after it. Like, I don't. It's as big as a cardigan. It's not, like, covering up the entirety of the hole. Just a little piece of the hole. Why would the Dalek get that close to the edge of a hole? Doesn't matter. Because something adorable happens. Oh, Barbara and Vicky go hide behind a thing. And then Ian and the Doctor pop up and start going, woohoo! over here, Dalek! And then ducking out of the way while the Daleks shoot. And then popping back up and going, woohoo!
Which is stupid, but adorable.
Like, the Doctor and Ian both look so pleased with themselves.
They do, yeah.
And then the Dalek comes over and doo-doo-doo-doo.
Ah!
Falls down the hole because of a cardigan.
I don't know why Ian can't ever use his own jacket.
Because he's not losing any more clothes after that time.
After the tie.
But they're like, our plan worked. Hurrah! Huzzah! Hurrah! And they rush to the TARDIS and escape, and the Daleks are like, we must follow them! And that is the end of the Death of Time. What does the Death of Time have to do with any of that?
Doesn't.
Nothing. Nothing. And we are now on to Flight Through Eternity! That might be okay. The title.
That's about right. That's about it.
Because this is the, quite frankly, a filler episode.
It's ridiculous, and I love it. This is the one where they go to New York, right?
Yeah.
And do nothing, really.
Well, they establish that for right off the bat, like, we have to continue to travel through time. They have, like, have an 8-minute lag or something. I don't know.
8 minutes ahead.
In this chase.
Which
doesn't make sense with time travel, but whatever. I'll buy into it for the sake of the plot.
The
Doctor says he constructed the TARDIS.
No, I don't think he says that.
He says something vaguely similar.
He's talking about a part. He's talking about a part of the TARDIS, or like something in the TARDIS that he built.
Or is that your headcanon to fix the?
No, I think that's what he meant.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we have like a little nice arty time travel where we see the TARDIS go through the time vortex, followed by the Dalek through the time vortex, which it looks like one of those like those little toys you had when you look through it and twist it, a kaleidoscope, but like not as many chunks, just like 4 chunks. That's what the time vortex looks like.
A four chunk kaleidoscope. But they go to New York and they meet someone from Alabama. From where Joe's from.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the tour guide before we get to the insult to the state I came from.
Okay.
I mean, possibly thoroughly accurate insult. But the most bored tour guide. I loved him. Just his, like, this is New York. Over here is this. Over here is that. Welcome to New York. I don't know. He just seemed very, like he'd been doing this for a very long time. I thought it was nice. It seemed very accurate. You had a problem with, like, the tourist that, like, just kept bumping into the tour guide.
What was he doing?
Ridiculously close.
He kept getting, like, closer and closer, and, like, the tour guide kept, like, moving him. And it's like, why do you keep walking closer and closer to this tour guide? I don't understand.
They go around, and we are left with one tourist who's still checking out this side of the building they're on. Is it the Empire State Building? It is.
I don't know. Are they in the Empire State Building, or are they looking at it? No, they're in it.
They're on, like, the roof of the Empire State Building. Or maybe not, like, I don't think you can go to the very, very tip top. The observation deck or whatever. Which, I actually, RTD said he feels like the Daleks kept it in their memory so they could do that really shitty new Dalek.
Yeah.
In New York story.
Maybe they should have forgotten it.
Yeah. But there's this one guy, he's from Alabama, I don't remember his name. I know that he plays him, because, spoilers, he's going to be in this serial later as a completely different character.
He's going to stay, you guys! Not him, though.
Not this character, but the guy who plays him plays
because he's
companion.
So good. Because he's amazing. This is a filler episode. It accomplishes nothing, but you don't care because you're like, that guy. That guy was in it, and I loved him.
This guy from Alabama.
Like, the TARDIS materializes, and he's like, whoa. Are you guys from the movies? Are you guys making a movie? That's a good trick. That is a good trick.
And it's great because, like, someone's like, what year is it? And he's like, year? Like, do you guys have different time here in New York? You guys got a different... It's 1966, at least from where I'm from. And then, like, I think that was Barbara came out and said... And he said that too, or whatever. And then, like, Vicky comes out and... He's like, introduces himself, and she's like, hi, I'm Vicky, and he goes, it's 1966!
And Vicky's just like, that is so helpful, thank you! I wish everyone did that!
It was adorable. And it's just like this, you know, yokel meeting the TARDIS crew,
thinking
and it's adorable.
Fancy New York people.
They're like, and then, like, they're all like, well, this was pointless, let's go!
Yeah, like, basically, this would not be a great place to fight the Daleks, so let's try and find someplace else. And the TARDIS dematerializes.
While the Alabama guy's not looking.
No, because he wants to take a picture. And for some reason he turns around to get his camera out of his pocket.
And he, like, goes around the, like, weird, the, you know, the little, the see-through, the thing where you put, like, a quarter in and you can, like, look through it and see stuff. The binoculars, you got it?
Yeah.
Like, from the observation deck. Like, he goes around it for some reason.
But the TARDIS dematerializes, he turns around and it's gone, and he's like, what? That is a good, where are you guys? Where is it hidden? How did you do it?
And then I guess he goes to put his camera back away, and while he's not looking again, the Dalek ship materializes.
Which is still funny, but more worrying. Yeah. He's like, please don't shoot him!
Like, if this was New Who, this guy would be dead.
Oh, yeah.
But this is Classic Who, so he doesn't die. So that's good.
No, because basically he's like, the Dalek's asking where the time travelers go, and he's like, they just left. But the Dalek's right. All right, thanks, bye! That's basically it.
Yeah, he's still just like, thoroughly like, look at these little robots.
Yeah, he wants to take a picture of the robots that are going to be in the movie.
They go away, and he's like stomping around, trying to find, I guess, trapdoors.
He's like, there must be a trapdoor, that's where they've gone, and so he's stomping around on the roof, and the tour guide comes back, and is like, what are you doing?
He must be from Alabama. So yeah, I'm from Alabama, and I take that very personal.
Why? You've been in Alabama.
Yeah, that's true. We know how time works. We know, like...
We don't know how time works.
But we know it's the same year here as it is in New York. We're not that stupid.
Yeah, but you have fast time and slow time.
But that's because we live on, like, a border for time zones.
But you don't call it by time zones. You call it fast time and slow time.
Because it's easier. It's quicker. It's just saving time.
That's the end of the episode, right?
No, it's not. It feels like it's the end of the episode.
But stuff happens after that?
Yeah, like I said, it feels like the end of an episode. Like, this episode has two episodes in it. So, they land, the TARDIS lands again on a boat!
On a boat! And if you don't know what the boat is, this episode's really confusing.
And as previously established, we don't know nothing!
We know anything, you guys!
We know nothing about history. So,
what's the boat called?
The Mary Celeste. That's
which is
the reveal.
Apparently kind of famous.
For just being discovered abandoned. There was nobody on the boat, and they don't know what happened.
No one knows why. So, knowing this and, like, seeing the sign and knowing this information, it makes sense when people lose their shit and start jumping off the boat.
Well, I mean, it kind of makes sense because they're supposed to be afraid of the Daleks, but, like, it doesn't read very well. Like, no. Why wouldn't they be like, what is this? Why do they just instantly
freak
the fuck out?
Basically, we're skipping over the part where, like, obviously Team TARDIS lands there first. Mm-hmm. Shenanigans ensue.
Including Vicky bonking a guy over the head.
Yeah, that was nice.
And then she goes to do it again and winds up hitting Ian in the over the head.
Ian's like, why does this keep happening to me? Maybe it's because you keep taking people's cardigans. Maybe those two things are directly related. Because
the guys think that, like, Barbara's a stowaway.
Right, they find Barbara first and they go to...
interrogating her, yeah. And Vicky bonks him over the head. And then bonks Ian over the head as well.
Second time. Just the cereal.
The second time someone's accidentally hit him over the head.
I was going to say, yeah. Second time he's accidentally been hit over the head by someone from
Team TARDIS.
And second time in this cereal that he's been hit over the head.
He's going to have brain damage.
Well.
I don't know. Might explain something. But yeah, then the Daleks and everybody abandon ship. That's pretty much all that happens. A Dalek falls off for no reason.
Because here's the thing. It's not like... I mean, like, the Daleks get there, and before they even have time to say anything, they are screaming and jumping off ship. And I'm like, that seems like an overreaction to me.
Yeah.
Like, sure, it's weird.
Like, if they just, I don't know, set it up a little bit more, like, the Daleks exterminate one of them.
Well, it's kind of set up, it is a little bit where one's teasing another one about, like, superstitions, like, ghost stories kind of thing.
Right, because the ship, the TARDIS disappeared.
I guess that's supposed to be kind of setting it up, but it doesn't...
They just think they're ghosts or some shit? I don't know.
But no, but literally what happened was we were watching this episode and it, you know, gives you that reveal of what the boat's named, and Joe and I both like, so I'm gonna have to Google that because I assume it's famous.
We don't
know things.
I still don't understand why the Dalek fell off. Like, the Dalek's just like, falls right off the boat for no reason.
It just keeps going.
Looks cool. Like, the Dalek falls apart once it hits the water, which, poorly constructed are these things?
But that's the end of the episode,
that
right?
That is the end of the episode. Like, yeah, complete filler up. That's the end of Flight Through Eternity, or Flight Through Two Time Periods. Just two.
Two different plots.
And we're now into Journey into Terror!
Which is my favorite episode ever. Just... ever.
Of all time?
I mean, it's pretty high up there. This episode and the episode after it are two of my favorites.
Why? The next one. Ugh. There's something in the next one that's just awful. Well, let's talk about this one. They arrive in a creepy house that has a giant statue of Olmec from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Yeah!
It's like your standard creepy haunted house looking thing.
It looks an awful lot like a haunted house, you guys. Like, a lot like a haunted house. Like...
It is.
Like, it's a haunted house. Yes. It is.
The introduction to how scary this place is a poorly executed gag. A bat on a wire fails to fall down, and then kind of does, and everybody flips their shit.
Yeah, like, it doesn't ever really make its way completely into shot. The string that it's hanging on definitely does. So when everyone's like, ah, you're like, really, guys?
They start to head up. Like, well, let's look and see what, you know, is here, so maybe there's some...
Maybe this is a good place. This could be a good place to fight the Daleks. This is basically what they're looking to stop for, is somewhere where they can stop and fight them.
And so far, they've been on the roof of a tall building. Not good. They've been on a boat. Not good. Even though apparently water can destroy a Dalek.
They probably should have stayed on the boat.
And now they're in this creepy house, and they're, but the Doctor and Ian are going to go upstairs, and they start to head upstairs, and this is what you didn't notice, but I noticed. They step on a certain spot, and thunder and lightning happens. That's what that shot was later. You weren't sure.
Yeah, because they realize whenever they step on that step, it happens.
And, like, everyone's frightened, except for the Doctor. And the Doctor's like, well, let's go. So the Doctor and Ian head upstairs, or about to, and the Doctor's like, shan't be long, and starts to head up, and Ian doesn't follow him, and he, like, the Doctor gives Ian a look, and Ian's like, shan't be long.
That's amazing.
He is just scared out of his mind. This is the most scared I've ever seen Ian.
Yeah.
And he's been in scarier situations. He was inside of a fucking bomb.
He's taken a man out with his thumb. And one rubber bat, and he's a mess.
Yeah, one rubber bat that doesn't even work properly. And it's that Olmec thing, which Ian and Barbara go check out, and its eyes come alive, and then they're like, ah! And then they go, and there's a coffin, and they open the coffin, and there's nothing in it. But then a skeleton falls from the ceiling! Oh, my God!
It's also on a string.
That legitimately got me a little bit.
Did it?
Because that one at least worked. And also, I was like, I should have seen it coming, because they're like, they did the fake out with the empty coffin.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you're watching this the whole time, and you're like, they're in a haunted house.
They're
obviously in a... Why is it taking them so long to figure out that they're in a haunted house?
Not like a real haunted house. Like, I mean, like a... Like, when you pay money to go in and, like, actors scare you and shit. But I guess in this instance, it's probably robots or something.
Yeah, because, like, they see, like, something comes out of a door, and it's Dracula, but he only has, like, one line that he repeats over and over again.
And he's badly lip-synced to Iron Dracula.
Yeah, so, like, it's pretty obvious what's happening here, and yet somehow at the
end
of...
a repeating ghost as well.
Yeah, like, everything has these triggers, and yet somehow at the end of the episode... The Doctor is like,
we were in the human mind.
Yeah, we were in the human mind. And everyone's like, yeah, probably, yeah.
I think there's even a part where, like, Ian's like, maybe it was a real place. And then the Doctor's like, nope, human mind.
Which, by the way, they're exploring this place. And the Doctor's like, hey, you know, because we are in the human mind, the Daleks can't follow us in here.
You could go in? What's the difference? So what else happens? There's Frankenstein's monster, which the Doctor is super excited to go in there because there's a lab.
Yeah, he's like, oh, science, you guys. There's science in here. I love science. Did you know that?
Barbara makes a comment about this place is going to make her hair go white. And Vicky's like, I think it already did. Why all the old jokes, Vicky? Why?
Vicky's a little snot.
She is. And then Vicky disappears. Barbara's all, ah. Barbara falls through a trapdoor. It's a haunted house. That's basically it.
That's this whole episode, you guys. That's all this episode is.
But then, yeah, they go back down the stairs and they do this weird step thing, and that's when... And they kind of look at each other. Like, to me, that just says, haunted house! Why did they... I don't know.
When apparently, in the original script, it was supposed to be that they were in the
human mind? That was the writer's original intent. And then the producer was like, that's stupid. No.
Which I wonder... How much of it was, like, changed? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, did it make sense in the script?
And then they put in the triggers and stuff?
Yes.
Maybe.
Because there's a reveal, like, they leave.
Well, before we get there, let's talk about what happens, because the Daleks show up. They do show up. they can go inside the human mind. They trap one in, like, this room with, like, bars. Like, for some reason, Ian knows how this trigger works.
Yeah.
This, like, little switch. But the Daleks come in. Everybody's like, oh, we gotta go. We gotta get out of here. I think they saw that Barbara was in the TARDIS. I think Barbara went in the TARDIS to look for Vicky. The Daleks start attacking Frankenstein's monster, and it doesn't work.
The Daleks, yeah.
They're just shooting everything, and none of it's working.
They attack all the robots, and the robots start to attack the Daleks back.
Yeah, this is a really bad haunted house. Like, the Frankenstein's monster picks one of them up and, like, throws it down. It's, like, stomping on it and stuff.
Slams it. Yeah.
Like, everything's going crazy. Like, the Daleks are shooting everything. The Frankenstein's monster. They should have. And the ghost is up there. But the TARDIS disappears without Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky's still there, and they've dematerialized. And I'm watching it like, do they not know? Do they not know? Do they not know that Vicky's not there?
The people, the crew on the TARDIS Doctor and Ian just sort of hang out, and they're like, that was weird, right? And Doctor's like, yep, human mind. Then it's revealed, House of Horrors. Out of business. Probably because the Frankenstein's monster threw some kid to the ground. It was just coming for a good time. Right? Am I right? Why would your little robot pick up the patron and throw it to the ground?
Scary.
And anyway, House of Horrors. And then they meet up with Barbara and they're like, that was weird, right? Wait.
Guys, where's Vicky? Which in my, like, immediately I'm like, well, go back and get her. Because I'm constantly shocked. I'm like, oh, right. They can't just go to places that they want to go.
The Doctor doesn't know how to fly the TARDIS yet. I'm not sure when that happens.
I don't know.
So they're really bummed. They ain't got no Vicky. But Vicky has hidden away on the Daleks time machine. Because why wouldn't she? She's a smart kid. And they're talking about reproducing the Doctor.
This is my favorite, you guys. This is one of my favorite things.
But she sees the Doctor, and he's in this tube thing. But before the Doctor comes out, we have a lot of fighting amongst the TARDIS crew about Vicky. It's really sad.
Yeah. They're all mad at
each other
for leaving her.
But so they come to a decision. What we're going to have to do is capture the Daleks time machine and go back and save Vicky. Because they still think Vicky's in the human mind. And so that's their plan. Back on the Dalek ship, they've programmed the Doctor and out he steps. And it's not William Hartnell.
It's some dude.
It's some dude that looks not... It doesn't even look that much like him.
They have a double for him. I think they're in one scene together, him and the double. One scene. And they're not... I think it's only one time where it's in the same shot.
Pretty much. They have a slight fight at the end of the next episode.
And it's not like this guy always plays the clone doctor.
Right. They sometimes use William Hartnell as the clone doctor.
And this double guy as the doctor. They use them interchangeably and only one time in the same shot. Like, they only had him in the one shot and wanted to make sure he got paid enough.
There was no reason they could not have used William Hartnell unless William Hartnell was like... Why not give it to the double? I'm tired. Like, at the end of this episode, they're showing him from a distance. Clearly not William Hartnell. Cut to a close-up, William Hartnell.
Oh, but when he speaks, though, he is William Hartnell.
Yeah, he's lip-syncing to pre-recorded William Hartnell lines. Clearly, it sounds like they're playing it on set, too.
They are.
Slightly echoey and, yes, I'm the Doctor.
It's pretty bad.
And before we get to the very end with the bad dubbing, we cut back to the TARDIS, which has landed. And they're just looking out, and they're like, look at this wild planet full of vegetation, and they don't show it, but Ian's like, it looks alive!
Ian is freaked out. He is, like, he says it like he's shocked. He's like, those plants almost look like they're alive. Proving, once and for all, Ian has zero concept of what is and isn't alive.
Well, the vegetation does turn out to be alive, but... He's constantly shocked at the state of things being alive or dead.
You know plants are alive, right?
God damn. Yeah, but I mean, they're like really alive. They're like sentient.
Sentient.
There you go.
Sentient? Sapient?
Sure. I don't know. That one's on you. All right. But yeah, then we get back to the Doctor. The faux Doctor. Doctor, whom is it? And that's the end of Journey into Terror. And we're into The Death of Doctor Who. Which I have a problem with that title, but today it would be called The Death of the Doctor.
Yeah, but They call him Doctor Who all the time. I always think that when people get, like, really mad about it.
Well, they haven't called him Doctor Who at any point.
They never call him, they never call him it in the show, but that's how he's credited and that's how he's talked about.
He actually is called Doctor Who in one future serial, and it's weird and I don't like it.
Really?
Doctor Who is required, but I imagine it as Doctor
Who is required.
So I don't get mad. I figure, at this point, if you're going to call the episode The Death of Doctor Who, and you've just introduced a clone doctor, I think it's fairly explanatory.
Guys, that clone's going to die.
Yeah, right? That's a dead doctor walking.
Or it's a robot.
So we're on the planet of trees, and they're like, let's poke it, because that's what they do.
They just poke things with sticks.
They poke the trees, and then the trees are like, don't do that, and try to eat things. These trees eat people.
But they're afraid of lights, you guys.
Oh, that says scared of lights. Yeah, I thought it said heights. I was like, I don't remember that.
I don't remember these trees being scared of heights.
Trees shouldn't be scared of heights. They're tall.
But, like, these floodlights turn on and scare the... They're not trees. They're, like,
plant
fungi.
Things. Yeah. Yeah, they're a real fun guy. So yeah, it creates like this pathway where the light does, and they're like, well, let's follow it. What else are we gonna do?
Yeah.
Maybe this will be a place to attack the Daleks.
Maybe we can fight the Daleks here, which they've decided, by the way. They're like, wherever we land, we're fighting them, and we're taking their time machine, and we're rescuing Vicky, because we all love her.
Oh,
because we all love Vicky.
I completely forgot to mention in the last two episodes ago, whoops, before they landed on the boat, the Doctor was making a weapon to attack the Daleks.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't really come into play in these last two episodes, so that's why I kind of forgot about it. But it comes into play in this episode. They have a device.
And it's very large. Like, it's, I don't know, briefcase-sized?
Yeah.
Ian's just kind of carrying it around with him the whole time?
Breadbox-sized.
Oh, breadbox-sized. That's good. but he's carrying it around with him the whole time. And I think there's a point where he's just kind of, like, swinging it around, and the Doctor's like, that's basically a bomb. Like, maybe be careful.
Yeah, because like, at one point, it's like, well, we'll just put it in here, and then we'll use it, and then get out. And he's like, this kind of can't be in an enclosed space with it. It will kill us. It's not like it focuses on a thing. It's gonna explode. Why would you spend all that time making a weapon
that's
just basically a bomb?
Yeah.
You're the Doctor. You're better than that. I don't even think the Doctor would make a bomb now.
He would.
He would? Mm. He definitely wouldn't make a gun. Doesn't like guns.
No, but he would make a bomb.
Bombs are okay. They kill everyone at once.
That's the thing. He's always like, oh, I don't like guns. He's like, but I've done all this science stuff that will basically basically kill all of the aliens. And you're like, okay, that's fine. Guns bad. I mean, not that it's a theme and it comes up and he deals with it, but it's there. It happens.
But then the Daleks arrive. Vicky gets out and is trying desperately not to get eaten by plants. But yeah, they find the cave, which is that enclosed place I was talking about. They're just gonna at least hide out there and see where the Daleks are coming from. And Barbara finds a light wand, which they're gonna use against the plants.
Which doesn't look bright enough to like scare the plants away.
And it's never explained where it came from. It's just conveniently in the forest.
It is. It's a wand with a little like light at the end, and it's like that's not convenient at all.
Oh yes, Barbara grabs the thing. Barbara grabs the thing and starts using it like a gun.
She
pulls
does!
It in. That's what
she
it was.
She does. She grabs it and she goes.
It wasn't Ian.
It was Barbara.
Do you think they wrote that for Ian? Because it's a very Ian thing to do. And they're like, oh, wait, we already did that in the Space Museum.
Give it to Barbara. I don't know. I mean, she does it well.
And then the Doctor's like, I want to live.
Yeah. That's not a toy, you guys.
Then she accidentally blows everybody up in the death of Doctor Who. No.
That's why this episode's so sad.
But Vicky finds the TARDIS, but no one's there. The Daleks start shooting all the plants.
Anything they see, they shoot. Except for Team TARDIS.
Ian and the Doctor go to explore. Fake Doctor comes in with Barbara, which is now... Okay, so at this point, that's when they switch.
They switch! So the fake Doctor has become William Hartnell.
And the real Doctor has become...
Doctor Whom.
Doctor Whom is it? The stand-in guy. I would have been... okay with it if you just kept him the fake Doctor.
Right, you're like, it's just a poor copy. Then even when that happens, you're like, why can't they tell them apart? I hate, like, you know, like in cartoons where, like, they want you to be able to tell them apart, so they, like, give them different pupils or whatever, and you're like, but it's so obvious!
Or you look like you're made out of plastic. To keep it Doctor Who relevant.
To be fair, when has Rose ever gave a damn about Mickey?
Fair enough.
It's just the truth, you guys.
Just hit to the core of that situation.
I mean...
But yeah, he looks nothing like him. And then the fake doctor is talking to Marvin and is like, Ian is dead. We must go.
He just comes back in and is like, yeah, he's dead. Like, immediately Barbara's like, no, are you sure? I don't know. Like, I mean, just in denial, which is good because he's not dead. She's like, well, are you sure? Let's go back out. Let's go find him. We can probably help him. I mean, thinking that Ian is dead is pretty upsetting.
And so they leave, and then the real doctor and Ian find Vicky.
And Vicky freaks out because...
Yeah, she thinks he's the fake doctor. She pushes him.
She shoves him, and the doctor's like, whoa! What the hell, man? That's what the doctor says. The doctor says, whoa.
But they convince her that he's the real doctor, and then she tells him. And then they're like, they go to get Barbara, and Barbara's not there, and they're like, fake doctor must have Barbara.
Which, his whole thing is to infiltrate and kill, and he's been alone with Barbara this whole time now.
Yeah, but I think he's taking him back. I don't think he has a thing on him to kill. He's got to
take him back
to the Daleks.
Okay.
Then there's a confrontation between, they haven't gotten far. So the two doctors meet, and they're like, I'm the real doctor. No, I'm the real doctor. And at this point, they do use William Hartnell for both, thankfully, just this scene. But then they start fighting each other, and Ian starts fighting one of them, turns out to be the real doctor. And then the fake doctor, like, comes over and hangs out with Barbara and Vicky. And this is just a close-up of Barbara, Vicky, and the doctor, and they're using the stand-in on a close-up. It's clearly not him at all. And, like, at some point, he just, like, sort of starts sliding, trying to hide his face behind Vicky. Like, oh, shit, I'm way too close to the camera. And he starts yelling, all right, kill that doctor. That's the robot doctor, and, like, gives Ian a rock to smash.
And Ian has the rock, has it up, like, he's ready to smash the doctor with a rock.
But, to an unearthly child, where the doctor was going to kill someone with a rock, and Ian stopped
Maybe
him.
Not.
But, Vicky, like, hey, no, that's the real doctor, this is the fake doctor, because the real doctor wouldn't do that, or whatever, because he's grown. He's grown as a Time Lord. The doctor destroys the robot. The real robot. Like, rips out his little robot stuff.
His little robot heart. Doctor's kind of like, thanks, Ian. Thanks a lot.
The Daleks talk for a while, which is always a boring thing and I can never pay attention to.
No, you can't listen to them.
Tink TARDIS goes back to the cave and, like, we're just going to wait around. And Ian's like, I'll keep watch. You guys take a nap. Barbara continues to sleep in weird fucking positions.
Yeah, so, like, Vicky has, like, her head on her arm. The doctor is asleep like a normal person.
Well, he's kind of straight on his back, which is a little weird, but...
And Barbara, how is Barbara?
I don't know. She's just, like, curled up oddly.
I thought she was the one who was straight on her back, like, completely.
No, that was the doctor.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't look very comfortable. And then Ian falls asleep.
Of course he does.
Which doesn't lead to the amount of trouble I would have imagined.
No.
But they all fall asleep. And then this eyeball thing comes down from the ceiling. This eye stalk. And, like, looks at all the people asleep. And then goes away. Which I completely forgot about in the next episode. I guess it was the
mechanoids, which are cool. I like the mechanoids, you guys.
But they wake up and suddenly there's a city outside the cave.
It's there now.
It's just there now. I guess the trees moved away and they're like, oh, couldn't see the city for the trees. No?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
And, but then the Daleks show up and they're like, oh, crap, we can't go to the city. The Daleks are here. We gotta go. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do?
So they're trying to figure out what they did. Like, the Daleks are there. They can't figure out what to do. So they're trying to figure out what to do. And I think it's Ian's idea where Ian's like, just pretend to be the robot doctor. And Barbara's like, no, that's stupid. And they're arguing about it. Barbara's like, that's suicide? Absolutely not. He's not going to do it. And Ian's like, you know what? You're right. That wasn't a great suggestion. And as they're arguing, the doctor has already left.
Yeah.
They turn around. He's not there anymore. And you hear him, like, off screen, like, I'm the robot doctor.
And they're like, no, you're not. Exterminate.
And you just hear pew, pew, pew. And he, like, runs back around. He's like, all right, you were right. It was a bad idea. Bad idea.
What do we do?
Anyone got anything else?
And then a convenient door opens up in the cave. And it has a giant Christmas ornament in it.
A mechanoid. And how does he talk?
English is your language.
That's how he talks.
Get in. The lip. Like, it says something. I couldn't really understand it. And then Ian's like, well, you heard the man. Let's get in.
And like, we were like,
no.
I did not hear the man, but okay.
He spoke plain as day. No. And so they get in, they're like, look at this huge city. Cut to a model.
Which, by the way, they get into the lift, and there's enough room for the Meganoid and almost all of them. Like, barely.
They're like, press 4, please. Before we get to that, though, that's the end of the death of Doctor Who, and we're now into the Planet of Decision! But yeah, they get in the lift, and it takes them up to the city, which is a model. It's clearly a model. They have little Meganoid.
Little Meganoids, they were so small.
They're going across the little bridge to the city. They get taken to a room,
Now they meet my best friend! My best friend, they meet him!
Yeah, but as soon as they get in there, they're like, oh wait, this is a prison cell.
Well, first, Ian's like, look, you guys, it's like a monkey's ladder! And he pretends to be a monkey, and I'm really upset that he's mostly off screen.
But then, yes, we meet the Alabama yokel, who is now not an Alabama yokel. He's somebody completely different, because he has a beard. And that is Steven Tyler? Taylor?
I don't know.
Man, I don't remember.
But I love him.
Steven. He's an astronaut.
He's an astronaut. He's been there for how long?
2 years.
2 years. He's been there for 2 years. He's waiting for other people?
I guess. They've, like, captured him and won't let him go.
But he's being... They're basically like, it's a zoo. He has a little bear. He gives it to Barbara. He goes, this is my mascot. And Barbara carries it around with her for, like, the rest of the episode until she puts it down.
Which causes some problems later on.
But they hang out.
He's like, yeah, there's no real way to escape. I've been here 2 years, you guys.
Yeah, we're here forever now. I mentioned that I was thinking that it was going to be another whole serial before Ian and Barbara left. But I knew this was the episode where Steven, where Steven came aboard.
I said
something about being excited. I was like, it'll be awesome to have like a full TARDIS, to have, you know, 4 people aboard at once. That's going to be awesome. And Joe was watching me thinking, he's just kind of like,
yeah. I actually didn't know it was this serial either until like right before we started watching it. Because I got confused and thought it happened in the Dalek serial for next season, which is the Dalek's Master Plan. I get these two mixed up, the Chase and the Dalek's Master Plan. So I thought it was next season, so I thought we had more Ian and Barbara yet to come. But then I was reading the Wikipedia before watching the episode, and it's like, oh no, Tony doesn't know either. Uh-oh. And I didn't tell her.
No.
Because it's way better that way. Anyway, back to the episode. The Daleks hack the lift. Are coming up to the city. Steven's like, we can go to the roof. The roof is fine. We can go to the roof because...
They don't have any security up there. There's
good
no
for exercise.
They like us to go on the roof because it's good for exercise. And no one's concerned about the spool of cable up here.
Well, to be fair, he's like, I tried to use it before, but like, I'm not strong enough to like
to do it himself.
It's like connected to a thing. Like you'd have to break it or whatever. And he's not strong enough to do it himself.
But with 4 people, they can use it to scale down the building.
And they're like, I don't know, they're way the fuck up there. They're really, it's a really tall roof.
They're on floor way the fuck up there.
Yes, when they got in the lift, that was the button. There's 1, 2, 3, and way the fuck up there. Except this is actually even more way the fuck up there because it's on the roof of way the fuck up there.
Right.
So it's higher than way the fuck up there.
Up above way the fuck up there.
There's not even a button for that one, you guys. Except for maintenance. Okay, so they're going to use the Doc's bomb, the Doctor's bomb. All together, they get the cable and they're fine. But Vicky is like, nope.
Vicky's afraid of heights, you guys.
They put a blindfold on her, don't they?
Yeah, which was then hard for you to watch.
Yeah, I couldn't do it either. I'm frightened of heights. I'm like going down on like basically a rope down this way the fuck up that, no. Like, and she was like, freaked.
Yeah, she's like, I didn't just leave me up here. Leave me up here to die. I will fight a Dalek myself. I just don't want to go down a rope down this building.
And they're basically forcing her to, and she's crying, and I'm like, I'm with you. No. But then, like, she accidentally pulls Barbara off a little bit. They're, like, trying not to drop Vicky while also trying to get Barbara back on the roof, because they can't all go at once. And it's just terrifying, and like the bomb's going off, smoke's everywhere, stuff is crashing, and Steven
doesn't have his mascot. He doesn't have his bear, and he goes back for his bear. And I told Joe, I said, that is simultaneously endearing and fucking annoying. I was like, I love that he's like, you guys, my bear, I have to go back. And at the same time, I'm like, leave the bear. The building is exploding. It's exploding. Okay, sorry.
And then the Daleks confront the Mechanoids. Everybody gets to the bottom of the building, and they're fine. Except for Steven. Steven's not there.
Steven's not
like,
there.
We gotta go. They're like, we gotta go.
He's in the building still, you guys.
An explosion occurs.
And I'm like, I thought he was the new is he dead?
And then this just, like, intense fight scene between the Daleks and the Mechanoids happens that they reuse a lot of footage, but it looks cool. They also maybe throw in some cartoons, but it looks cool.
Yeah, cartoons, explosions, but it's a neat fight between like a dustpan and a Christmas ornament. It's a pretty neat fight. I mean, and it goes on for quite a while, but I wasn't, like you said, they reuse shots, but you're kind of like, but look at it though. But it's happening.
It looks like they put a lot of money into those Mechanoids.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, the design of them is really cool. I mean, they do look like Christmas ornaments, but then it's still nice. Good Christmas. Giant Christmas ornaments.
Scary robot Christmas ornaments.
The bomb completely goes off, and they overlay like an explosion of something over the shot of the model.
Well, which we haven't said, but I guess they have recently acquired a switcher, and you can tell because when they're inside the Dalek ship, they do that thing where they can have, they've got these like spinny things.
Yeah, like these M.C. Escher looking.
Yeah, things that spin. They just sort of like open up this like little circle wipe into another video, and that's their screen, which works great until you have like a Dalek standing too far into it.
Yeah, like the little eye stalks covering part of it, so they can't make the circle too big.
Oh, they can't fill it up, so the circle's all of a sudden. Because we were watching it, and I was like, why is it so small? And I was like, oh, because they can't, the Daleks over where the video should be. And so they just have to make it smaller.
Yeah, because they can't, like, they can't put it behind the Dalek's eye stalk, because
it's basically just, it's just like a wipe, and they've... Yeah. Set it to like whatever.
It's just like a little, yeah, like a little split screen type thing where they just put, yeah. It's overlaid, it's not really, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they splice the two shots together of the explosion and the model, which was okay. It wasn't bad. It was obvious, but it wasn't bad. And then they find the TARDIS and they find the Daleks' other time machine. They go looking, like, Vicky takes the Doctor inside to show him around, and like Barbara and Ian are outside, and they're like, Barbara's like, hey, I think we can go home.
And kind of like, do we want to?
And she's like, I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, I think I really do. And they're like, do you think the Doctor will let us? And the answer is, no. The Doctor gets pissed.
He's very mad. Well, it's apparently, I don't know how much of this is true and how much of this is the Doctor just not wanting to lose somebody. Well, he's like, it's really risky. Like, do you even understand how risky it is to fly this time machine? It's not really set up before that it's risky and that something can go wrong.
Well, I mean, if they don't know what they're doing, I guess.
Right. But let's assume that it's true. But it's very risky, and he's all, you know, shouty and frustrated, and Vicky's like, it doesn't matter if it's risky. If they understand the risks, it's up to them. And kind of calms him down a little bit and says, you know what, if they want to go home, you gotta let them go home. That's sad.
And before we get into, like, the full talking about this, there's a quick scene that reveals that Steven is okay. He gets out, and he's, like, dodging plants and stuff, but we don't really know what happens to him. That's the last we see of Steven in this serial.
Which is odd, because I knew...
That Steven's gonna be a companion?
Yeah. So, like, he goes back into that building, it explodes, and I'm like, okay, and then you see him, and he's safe. I'm like, but they're leaving!
I'm imagining he stows away. I don't remember. But let's go full blown into what happens.
So they take the Dalek time machine.
Well, after the Doctor, like, you gotta do what I say to the letter.
And they're like, yeah, okay. They go back home.
Yeah.
They go, and there's this great little, like...
They blow up the time machine, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, to make sure that no one else can use it.
And of course, they run around a corner, and Ian sort of pins Barbara to a wall to make sure she's okay.
Yeah.
A little hug there while the explosion happens.
And there's this little montage of just, like, the pictures of them, like...
Oh, they're 2 years out, too. They look at a car.
Yeah.
And it says, like, 1960s.
And I'm like, how are we going to explain our absence? And Ian's like, we'll figure it out. Because they ask, well, don't they ask a question about what year it is or something like that?
Well, no, they see it on a car.
Well, no, but Ian asks some question, and the guy's like, where have you been? The moon?
Oh, yeah.
And Ian's like, you're not far off. And Barbara elbows him.
But yeah, there's a little montage of
them. It's just them having fun. It's just them happy to be home and happy to be with each other.
And it's weird style. It's not like a video montage. It's like photo montage.
There's this one, and they don't...
There's like, they're playing with pigeons, and there's one where Ian looks super shocked, and then it's like Barbara like pointing to another police box that's not the TARDIS, it's just a police box. They're just running around, goofing, having a fun time. They're home again.
And they're happy.
That scene happens where they're like talking to the guy on a bus or something.
And they're laughing, and it pulls out, and they're on the time-space visualizer, and the doctor and Vicky are watching them. And Vicky's like, they got home.
And the doctor's like, walks away and looks sad. And he's like, I shall miss them. I shall miss them.
That's what he says. I'm gonna miss them too. I don't...
And that's the end of the chase. I know it's sad that Ian and Barbara are gone, but it's a much better send-off than Susan got.
That is absolutely true.
Ian and Barbara got a great send-off. It was nice.
It was a solid serial.
With some weird filler, but the filler was fun.
The filler was fun. I enjoyed it. It was, I think, probably the most... I liked it a lot. I really liked it.
Did you even like the Ian and Barbara leaving?
I liked the way it was done. I'm sad that they're gone. It's so weird. It's weird how much I'm going to miss them. Because they're so much of... I don't know what this era is. Or, I mean, you know, what I've experienced of it. There's new stuff to experience now, and that's great, because there's always going to be. I did not know I was going to love them as much as I did. And it happened so quickly, and now it's over.
They're your first classic companions.
I'm, like, so proud of them, too.
It was sad, but nice. It was nice. It wasn't...
They weren't abandoned.
They got to make their own choice this time. I guess the doctor learned from... On the previous one.
And Vicky's still there.
Vicky's still... We're going to get Steven.
And I love Vicky, and you already know I love Steven.
I love Steven. I liked him from my first go-around. Yeah, I liked the serial a lot, too. The filler episodes were fun.
Yeah.
Even if it's kind of stupid. A lot of fun things. I say the weak point was probably the whole, like, Savage Dragons episode, but everything else was pretty fun. A lot of fun stuff happened. It was funny. Like, the... Dalek's coughing while rising from a sand dune. The haunted house thing. Just funny. The ending is really good and emotionally solid. And you don't, it's not just, I don't know, I really like the doctor being grumpy about it. Like, because he doesn't want to get,
not because he's grumpy, because he doesn't want to be sad.
Yeah. He's going
to
miss him.
Well, I don't know how to do sadness, so I'm just going to do.
You can't leave. I won't let you.
But he's going to miss him.
I'm going to miss him. Well, I think Barbara actually plays the woman who plays Barbara plays a different character in like later Doctor Who. Yeah, that's a bit weird.
I'd love to see Ian come back.
Yeah, like apparently there. I'm not caught up on.
There's been a lot of references to Cole Hill.
Yeah, so bring Ian back. Just do it.
I miss him.
Just have Ian be on it, just for a scene. The dude's still alive, right?
He does introductions.
We should watch those.
On DVDs. But we haven't watched them because they're spoilers.
But we've watched all of them now.
Oh, yeah, we can go back and watch them. Oh, because there's never going to be any more episodes with Ian in them.
No, I'm sorry. But all in all, a good serial. Remind me a lot of Keys of Marinus in its sort of episodic style. Yeah, but a good send-off to a great couple of companions. And I'm looking forward to our next couple of companions, Vicky and Steven. That's it for the chase. Next time... We will be talking about the season 2 finale, The Time Meddler, which we will have a special guest star. Chris Cherry is coming back.
Chris Cherry, both of our alternate husbands.
Yeah, and it's going to, I think that episode goes up like the day before, the day after his birthday.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah. So I thought that'd be nice. little Christmas treat. Not Christmas, birthday treat for Chris Cherry. But next time it's going to be The Time Meddler. And we'll see you then on the Watchathon of Wrestling!
Yay! We did it! We did another one! Bye!
We shall miss you.